فيما يحب الله ويرضى and is pleased with ومن ولي الخلاف بإجماع الناس عليه ورضاهم به فأمير المؤمنين whoever becomes the Khalifa through the consensus of the people and they're being pleased with him then he is the chief of or the leader of the believers. الشرح, the explanation. And before we go on to the explanation, Alhamdulillah, again remember that Al-Imam Al-Barbahari rahimahullah ta'ala and likewise the other a'imma min a'immat al-Islam, a'immat al-Salaf, the imams of the Salaf, they compiled these books to clarify the aqeedah, the creed of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah and the methodology of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah in opposition to the deviant sects from the Rafidah, the Shia, the Jahmiyyah, the Mu'tazila, the Khawarij, the Qadariyya, and so on and so forth. So when we see this, Alhamdulillah, obviously it's an issue that differentiates Ahl al-Sunnah from the people of innovation and misguidance. هذه المسألة من المسائل التي يتميز بها أهل السنة والجماعة من أهل البدع. نعم. And somebody may be reading it or listening to what was read, hearing these words, and think, is this relevant to this time? نعم, of course it's relevant. Because if only the people understood and believed what we are going to read in this dars as it pertains to the position of the Muslim towards the Muslim ruler, then Alhamdulillah, the people would be safe from falling into the likes of what they call al-Rabi' al-Arabi, the Arab Spring. The Arab Spring which created chaos in many of the Muslim lands. And they were even trying to bring about chaos in Saudiya. So now, these issues are very important. We should not think otherwise. Because Alhamdulillah, na'am, through these issues, يتميز السني من البدعي, the Sunni is distinguished from the innovator, the person of misguidance. So الشرح, the explanation, قال الشيخ الوالد حفظه الله, الشيخ ربيع, من أصول أهل السنة, from the fundamental principles of أهل السنة, na'am, this is from the usul, the fundamentals. This is not something that is a far, a subsidiary matter. هذا من أصول أهل السنة. Based upon the Quran, based upon the Sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. See the Prophet. طاعة من والله الله أمر المسلمين فيما يحبه الله ويرضاه. To obey the one Allah عز وجل places in charge of the Muslims in that which Allah Azza wa Jalla loves and is pleased with. To obey the one Allah Azza wa Jalla places in charge of the Muslims in that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala He loves and is pleased with. ليست الطاعة المطلقة. This is not absolute, unconditional obedience. الطاعة لولاة الأمور ليست طاعة مطلقة. Obedience to the Muslim rulers is not an absolute, unconditional obedience. فَإِنَّ الطَّاعَةَ الْمُطْلَقَةَ لِلَّهِ ثُمَّ لِرَسُولِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Because absolute obedience, unconditional obedience, is for Allah and His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. أَمَّا طَاعَةُ وَلَاةِ الْأُمُورِ فَهِيَ مُقَيَّدَةٌ سَوَاءً وَلَاةُ الْأُمُورِ أَوْ غَيْرُهُمْ. طاعة الوالد أو المدرس أو المدير هذه كلها مقيدة بشرط أن لا تكون في معصية. So as it pertains to obeying the rulers, the Muslim rulers, then this type of obedience is conditional. Obeying and likewise, obeying other than them, obeying the parent, the teacher, the manager, obeying the husband, that ta'a is muqayyada, it's conditional. What's the condition? The condition is, the stipulation is, that it does not involve the disobedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. Is that clear to everyone? Now the condition is that as it pertains to obeying Wulatul Umur, the Muslim rulers, or غيرهم, other than them, Al-Wali, the parent, Al-Zawj, the husband, the Mudarris, the teacher, وقس على ذلك. Now that obedience is muqayyada, meaning is conditional. And what's the condition that's stipulated? That obedience, disobedience should not involve disobedience to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And that's based upon proofs, from the adilla, from the proofs, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَا طَاعَةَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. There is no obedience to the creation if it involves disobedience to the Creator. لَا طَاعَةَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, it comes in Bukhari, a Muslim, إِنَّمَا الطَّاعَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Obedience is in that which is lawful, allowed, in good. Also the ayah is a proof of that. When Allah Azza wa Jalla said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, ati'u Allah wa ati'u al-Rasul wa ulil amri minkum. O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger and those in authority from among you. How is that a proof? فَإِن تَنَزَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. And if you differ in anything, they return it back to Allah and His Messenger if you truly believe in Allah on the last day. How is that a proof? Fadl. Naam, ahsant. In the ayah, we clearly see Allah Azza wa Jalla said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, ati'u Allah wa ati'u al-Rasul, obey Allah and obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and those in authority from you. Allah Azza wa Jalla did not say, wa ati'u and obey those in authority from you. Why? Because ta'atu wulat al-umur, obeying the Muslim rulers, is muqayyada. It is conditional. What's the condition, the shart? That it has to be in that which is allowed. It has to be in ma'roof. It cannot be in that which involves disobedience to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Is that clear to everyone? The Shaykh, he said, الإمام البربهاري رحمه الله قيد هذا الأمر بما يحبه الله ويرضاه. الإمام البربهاري, he restricted this matter, meaning the matter of obedience to the Muslim rulers, to that which Allah loves and is pleased with. He said, والدائرة أوسع قليلا مما يحبه الله ويرضاه إلى المباح. فإذا أمر الخليفة بغير معصية أمر واجب أو مستحب أو مباح الشرط أن لا يكون أمر معصية. So in reality, as Shaykh Rabi said, the sphere is wider than that which Allah loves and is pleased with. Meaning, you have to obey the rulers even in that which is allowed. If the ruler tells you, it's likewise, if the ruler tells you to do something that's mubah, it's allowed for you to do it. What's the meaning of mubah? Who can tell me? Abdul Malik, what's the meaning of mubah? The meaning of mubah, tfadl. Na'am. Yes. Now, there's various definitions from them that لا يتعلق به, there is no reward or punishment connected to that action. There is no reward. لا يتعلق يعني بذاته, there is no reward or punishment for that action in itself. Why? Because it may be that a person does something that's mubah. If you eat food, but you eat food and your intention is because you want to wake up and pray the night prayer, then that's different. Because you're utilizing, now your intention is to do ibadah. I gave the example the other day, a person, he has relations with his wife, his niyyah is to protect himself from falling into that which is haram and preserve his chastity. Na'am. So mubah is that which there is no reward and no punishment connected to it in itself, bidhatihi. Na'am. A person may be rewarded for it, depending upon the objective behind that. So likewise, somebody, it could be something mubah may become haram because of the objective behind it. Can anyone give me an example where something mubah, it may become haram? Like for example, grapes. You have grapes, you sell grapes. It's mubah, right? It's transactions. It's permissible for you to do it. You know for certain that the person who buys those grapes, he's going to take those grapes because he produces khamar, alcohol. You know yaqeen and with certainty that individual, he's going to use the grapes that he buys from you, and he's going to make khamar. Now that transaction is like a juice, it's not permissible. Why? Because you know that this individual, he plans to make alcohol with these grapes. That's why the ulama, they say, bidatihi, there's no reward or punishment connected to it in itself, meaning that act itself. However, with external factors, it may be something that a person may be rewarded for, or it could even result in somebody being punished. Na'am, I hope that is clear. So, the Shaykh is saying, even if the ruler commands you with that which is mubah, now we have to obey him. So if the ruler commands, the Khalifa commands, that something be implemented, whether it's an obligation, whether it's something recommended, whether it's something allowable, then they have to be obeyed with the condition that it cannot be a command where they are commanded with the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And something that's mubah, like for example, traffic lights. If you are in a Muslim land, and even in a non-Muslim land, traffic lights in itself, na'am, is a system to regulate the traffic. It is not allowed for somebody now to disobey the commands of the Walat al-Umur and run a red light deliberately. Ta'ammudan, intentionally. هذا لا يجوز. فإذا أمر بأمر واجب وجبت طاعته. So if the Muslim ruler commands with something that is an obligation, it's wajib, it's an obligatory for the people to obey him in that. Like al-jihad, the legislated jihad. And alhamdulillah, even what we're going to read in the next few lines from al-Barbahari rahimahullah clarifies a number of important issues. From them that al-jihad is what? Min salahiyya al-imam. The jihad, offensive jihad, is from the responsibilities of the Muslim ruler. There's no offensive jihad except with a Muslim ruler. So somebody may ask, well, offensive jihad like what? Like for example, what you find in a Saudi with Saudi Arabia with regards to what is taking place between them and the Houthis, and what is taking place with Saudi Arabia and a number of other countries of the world with regards to, alhamdulillah, assisting the people of Yemen, and likewise assisting the people of Syria. Now, so if the Muslim ruler commands with something that is an obligation, it's obligatory to obey him. Like as it pertains to al-jihad, hajj, fi umur al-islam, the affairs of Islam, al-zakat, wa ghayriha, fi majalat al-halal wal-haram, in that which is lawful and unlawful. If the ruler commands with something lawful in the religion, he has to be obeyed. If the ruler prohibits something that's haram in the religion, he has to be obeyed. يُطَاعُ فِي طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. The ruler is obeyed in obedience to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. وَلَا يُطَاعُ فِي مَعْسِيَةِ اللَّهِ. And he is not to be obeyed if it involves the disobedience of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. وَقُلْتُ دَائِرَةِ الطَّاعَةِ أَوْسَعُ مِنْ دَائِرَةِ الَّتِي حَدَّدَهَا الشَّيْخُ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ حَصَرَهَا فِيمَا يُحِبُّ اللَّهُ وَيَرْضَاهُ. So Shaykh Rabi said, in reality, the sphere of obedience of the Muslim ruler is more expansive, or it's wider than that which was defined by Al-Imam Al-Barbahari, because Barbahari restricted it to what Allah loves and is pleased with. But in reality, even if it's something that is allowed, even if Allah does not love it, na'am, it's not something that's recommended, still if it's something that's mubah, you have to obey the Muslim ruler. And he said, لِأَنَّ الشَّيْءَ قَدْ يَكُمْ مُبَاحًا لَا مَحْبُوبًا وَلَا مَكْرُوهًا أَيْ بِذَاتِهِ وَلَا يُثَابُ فَاعِلُهُ وَلَا يُعَاقَبْ فَهَذَا إِذَا تَرَجَّحَ لِوَلِي أَمْرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ أَنْ يَأْمُرَ بِهِ النَّاسَ أَوْ يَنْهَاهُمْ عَنْهُ لِأَجْلِ مَصْلَحَةٍ مِنَ الْمَصَالِحِ بَعْدَ أَنْ يَكُونَ هُنَاكِ إِسْتِشَارَةٌ لِلْعُلَمَاءِ حِينَ إِذٍ يُطَاعُ فِي هَذَا. This is because something may be allowed and it's not loved by Allah nor detested, and the individual will not be punished nor rewarded for this act. So if the Muslim ruler believes it's in the interest of the Muslims, the overall interest of Islam and the Muslims, and he commands with it or forbids it depending on the benefits, and this is after consulting the scholars, in this instance likewise he is also to be obeyed. Naam. So here again Al-Barbahari, just inshallah ta'ala bear with us, is clarifying our position towards what? The Muslim ruler. And what is some of the responsibilities of the Muslim ruler. And as we said, likewise inshallah ta'ala, the offensive jihad is from the salahiyat of the Muslim ruler. And there's no offensive jihad except with the ruler. That's why it's ludicrous. When people go around killing, when we see people, يَقْتُلُونَ الْأَبْرِيَاءَ نِسَاءً وَأَوْلَادًا, women, children and civilians, you see people going around and they're saying they kill people and murder people, and they say this is jihad. It's, how is it jihad? Jihad with ijma' أهل الإسلام. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, الْإِمَامُ جُنَّةُ يُقَاتَلُ مِنْ وَرَائِهِ. The imam is a shield, you fight from behind him. Al-imamu junna. The imam is a shield, you qatalu, you fight from behind him. So what they do when you see people go and they say they're sending people on missions and they go to non-Muslim countries and they kill and they massacre innocent people, that's fasad. And the Shaykh al-Fawzan will speak about that inshaAllah in more detail. That's corruption and not jihad. And that's fi ta'ati shaytan, laysa fi ta'ati al-Rahman. That's in obedience to the devil and not obedience to the most merciful. Then al-Barbahari, he said point number 31, وَلَا يَحِلُّ لِأَحَدٍ أَنْ يَبِيتَ لَيْلَةً وَلَا يَرَى أَنَّ عَلَيْهِ إِمَامًا بَرًّا كَانَ أَوْ فَاجِرًا. It is not permissible for anyone. It is not permissible for anyone to spend a single night believing that he has no imam, no ruler over him, whether he be righteous or wicked. It is not permissible for anyone to spend a single night believing that he has no imam over him, whether he is righteous or wicked. يعني أخذ هذا من الحديث. البربهاري derived this, took this from the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when the Prophet, he said, من مات وليس في عنقه بيعة مات ميتة جاهلية. Whoever dies and does not have a pledge of allegiance, a بيعة around his neck, he is not bound by a pledge of allegiance to the Muslim ruler, he dies a death of جاهلية. فلو مر عليه ليلة واحدة, if one night passes, مر عليه وقت قليل, or a small amount of time elapses, وهو لا يعتقد في ولاية من والله الله أمر المسلمين. And this is the meaning of this. If one night passes or a small amount of time elapses and the person does not believe in the rulership of the one whom Allah Azza wa Jalla is placed in authority over the Muslims, ومات, and he dies in that state, وهو في مثل هذا الحال فميتته ميتة جاهلية, then his death is the death of جاهلية, pre-Islamic times. هذا أمر عظيم. This is a serious matter. ووعيد شديد, and a severe threat من الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم, from the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. لماذا؟ Why? لأنك حين ترفض بيعة هذا الإمام وترفض طاعته, لأنك حين ترفض بيعة هذا الإمام وترفض طاعته, فإنك قد شققت عصا المسلمين وقصدت إلى تفريق جماعتهم والخروج عن هذه الجماعة فتموت ميتة جاهلية. Why? Why is this? Because when you reject the pledge of allegiance and you refuse and you reject to obey him, then verily you have split the body of Muslims and you intend to divide their congregation and depart from the jama'ah. And therefore, if somebody was to die in this state, he dies a death of jahiliyyah. So when we say this, we don't say this mudahana li ahad. We don't say this because we're trying to flatter anyone. And you hear min al khawarij, min al takfirin wal qutubiyin, they say that the ulama dular wa dinar, the scholars of the dular and the dinar. No, why? Rather, the ulama in reality are ulama that they base their mawaqif upon the Quran and the Sunnah with the understanding of the Salaf. And inshallah, we'll hear some examples. So we will see some amthila, even with the Sahaba, where they rejected this idea of al-khuruj, rebelling against the Muslim ruler, wa khal'u al-bay'a, and revoking the pledge of allegiance. They rejected it. So what do we say about them? According to the takfiris and the khawarij, fi hadha al-asr, wa fi ghayri hadha al-asr, and likewise, the qutubiyin and the sururiyin, according to them, lisanu halihim, is that this is being a scholar for dollars. And they say that these type of terms, scholars for dollars, like was invented by the Majnoon Faisal Jamaiki, هذا المجنون الذي حتى يعني ابن عباس رضي الله عنه ما سلم من لسانه. Ibn Abbas was not even safe from his tongue. يعني فضل نفسه وفهمه على فهم ابن عباس. He believed that his understanding is superior to the understanding of ibn Abbas. When they use these type of terms, scholars for dollars, titles like that are meant to make somebody be intimidated and say, I don't want to be known as that, so therefore you abandon your mawaqif. You abandon the truth. Why? Because you're scared that somebody's going to say, you know, you're a scholar for dollar. Or they're going to say about you. So that's why they invent these terms. But the person of the Sunnah, he doesn't care what anyone says about him, as long as he's implementing the Quran and the Sunnah with the understanding of the Salaf of the Ummah. Naam. So the Shaykh, he said here, مَا كَانَ عِنْدُهُ بَيْعًا. He said, فَتَمُوتُ مِيتَةً جَاهِلِيَّةً كَحَالِ الْجَاهِلِيِّينَ. So the person in this state who refuses to obey the ruler, refuses to give the pledge of allegiance, then verily He said, then verily you have split and divided the body of Muslims. And you are intent about dividing them and to rebel and to leave and depart from this jama'ah. So you die a death of jahiliyyah, pre-Islamic ignorance. Like the state of those who lived during that time of ignorance. Because at that time, al-jahiliyyah, they did not give the pledge of allegiance. مَا كَانَ عِنْدْهُمْ بَيْعَةً كُفَّارْ طَبْعًا. They were disbelievers. And naturally, لَا بَيْعَةً وَلَا إِسْلَامٍ. They did not have the pledge of allegiance, nor did they have Islam. وَلَا شَيْءٍ. They had nothing. فَأَنْتَ تُشَارِكَ الْجَاهِلِيِّينَ. So therefore, if you take this position, in opposition to al-Islam, in opposition to the Qur'an and the Sunnah, then you partake and you share with these people that lived during these times of ignorance, في هذا, in this aspect. وَتَمُوتَ عَلَى هَذِي النِّيَةِ السَّيِّئَةِ. And you die with this evil intention. وَتُحَاسَبُ بِذَلِكَ. And you will be brought to account for that. وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And on the Day of Judgment, as comes in the hadith of Ibn Umar رضي الله عنه. But before that, ikhwan, the bay'ah, let's clarify it. Some people may be confused. It's not the bay'ah of the Sufis. The Sufi turuq, the different tariqas, they have a bay'ah that they give to their Sufi shaykhs. It's not referring to that bay'ah. Likewise, some of the jama'at, al-siyasiyya, even in the city, some of the imams, they take the bay'ah. They take the pledge of allegiance from those in their congregation. Hadi bid'ah, that's an innovation. This bay'ah is for the Muslim ruler. This bay'ah, when we are talking about as-sam'u wa ta'a. Allah. Naam, so again, this bay'ah, this pledge of allegiance is to the Muslim ruler, li wali al-amr only. It is not to the imam of the masjid. It is not to the Amir al-Safar. And we do not have, in Islam, the Amir that we have the Amir al-Mu'mineen, the leader of the believers, you have Amir al-Safar, but even the Amir al-Safar, he doesn't have the pledge of allegiance. There's no bay'ah. That is why this concept of Amir of a Jama'ah, the leader of a group and so on and so forth, in itself is a bid'ah, is an innovation, as has been clarified by many of the scholars of Islam. And like I said, even in this city, some people, they give bay'ah to the imams of some of the imams of the masajid. This has la asla lahu, there's no origin for this. La fi kitabillana, in the Quran, and nor in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And somebody may try and claim that, nah, the bay'ah was given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet was the leader of the Muslims. Give us one delil that the Sahaba used to go around giving bay'ah to the imams of the masajid. هذا من أبطل الأباطيل. However, nah, even though the imams of the masajid, no doubt they do not deserve the bay'ah, that's for the Muslim ruler, still, بلا شك, لهم الاحترام, كما ذكر أهل العلم, they're to be respected. And they're to be honored, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best of you are those who learn the Qur'an and teach it. So without a shadow of a doubt, we don't go from one extreme to the other extreme. We are now, alhamdulillah, ahl sunnah in wasat, in the middle. Yes, the imam of the masjid does not deserve bay'ah. Without, that's li wali al-amr khasa. However, we don't go to the other extreme of the people of su, people with no adab, man la akhlaqa lahu, and we don't respect those whom Allah Azza wa Jalla commands us to respect. Rather, ahl sunnah, nahnu fil wasat. Nunazzil an-nas manazilahum, we put people in the station that they deserve. And alhamdulillah, we spoke about that in the khutbah this Jum'ah. So the Shaykh, he said, as comes in the hadith, the one who has this evil intention, he doesn't pledge allegiance to the Muslim ruler. If, for example, he was in that particular land, if he dies with this evil intention, he will be brought to account for that. And on Yawm al-Qiyamah, as comes in the hadith of Ibn Umar, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, إِذَا جَمَعَ اللَّهُ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرْفَعُ لِكُلِّ غَادِرٍ لِوَا فَقِيلَ هَذَا قَدْرَةُ فُلَانِ ibn Fulan. When Allah Azza wa Jalla gathers the first of the creation and the last of the creation, meaning Yawm al-Qiyamah, everyone will be gathered. For every treacherous person, a flag will be raised. May Allah Azza wa Jalla protect us from that. Now, for every treacherous person, there will be a flag that will be raised. It will be said, this flag is for the treachery of so-and-so. Why? Because treachery is not from the way of the believers. Even at times of jihad, even on the battlefield, treachery is not from Islam. The Muslims were known to keep their word. The Muslims were known for their truthfulness and their uprightness. They were not known for this. Not like the Khawarij today. يَدْخُلُونَ الْبُلْدَانِ They enter the countries with a visa, with a ta'shira. They take the right of passage and they agree that they're going to, you know, basically observe the regulations and the laws of that land. They enter that land and then they break their agreement and they go about murdering people saying that they're in Dar al-Harb. That's khiyana wa ghadar. That's treachery. That's why terrorism, no doubt it involves يَشْمَلُ مَذَا الْكَذِبِ Al-ghadr wal-khiyana, lying, trickery, deception, deceit, and it can never be part of Islam. لَا مِنْ قَرِيبٍ وَلَا مِنْ بَعِيدٍ Likewise, Imam Muslim, he collects in his Sahih upon Ibn Abbas, قَالَ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ from the Messenger of Allah, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, مَنْ كَرِهَ مِنْ أَمِيرِهِ شَيْئًا فَلْيَصْبِرْ عَلَيْهِ Whoever dislikes something from the ruler, his ruler, then let him be patient. You have to be patient. That's the mushkila with the Khawarij. وَمَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِهِمْ مَا عِنْدُمْ صَبَرٍ They don't have patience. And look at their lack of patience, وَالضَّلَالُهُمْ and their misguidance, what it results in. يَخْرُجُونَ عَلَى وُلَاتِ الْأُمُورِ وَيَقْتُلُونَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ They rebel against the Muslim rulers, and they kill the Muslims, and they declare the blood of the Muslims to be lawful. وَنْ كَرِهَ مِنْ أَمِيرِهِ شَيْءٍ فَلْيَصْبِرْ Whoever dislikes something from his leader, the Muslim ruler, فَلْيَصْبِرْ It's a command to be patient. فَإِنُّهُ لَيْسَ أَحَدْ مِنَ النَّاسِ خَرَجَ مِنَ السُّلْطَانِ شِبْرًا فَمَاتَ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا مَاتَ مِيتَةً جَاهِلِيَّةً Because there is none who have departed from the obedience of the ruler, even a handspan, and they died like this, except that they died the death of al-jahiliyyah, pre-Islamic ignorance. وَلِعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ Point number 32, and inshallah we'll close with this, and then tomorrow we can go on to point number 33. And again, all of this is a refutation على الخوارج والمعتزلة ومن تشبه بهم and whoever resembles them. So remember this. Alhamdulillah, this applies to anyone. Even if somebody, حتى إذا ظهر الآن أو يعني أتى أحد, if somebody comes now and they say I'm Salafi and they have a lihya, عنده lihya وعنده ثوب and he has a ثوب and the ثوب is, you know, above فوق الكعبين and you hear him mentioning آيات or you hear him mentioning ahadith and he says, you know, أنا على السنة, I'm upon the sunnah. If this individual now starts saying, no, we're going to rebel against the Muslim rulers, from our methodology is that we do not obey the sinful rulers, and they promote al-mudaharat, wal-inqilabat, wa-thawrat, rebellions and the like of these things, then you know that he's upon the way of the Khawarij. Even if he has the biggest lihya, even if he has a thawb, even if he claims that he's upon the sunnah, you know that in reality this individual, huwa ala madhab al-Khawarij, he is upon the way of the Khawarij, whether he likes it or not. And that's the importance, brothers and sisters, of learning these books, Kutub al-Aqidah, Kutub al-Salaf. Because many times all it takes is somebody, he knows a bit of Arabic, he's eloquent, he can speak, he quotes a few verses, he quotes a few ahadith, and people think, and then he says, you know, I'm upon the sunnah, and even though yukharif al-kitab wa sunnah, he goes against the Qur'an and the sunnah, iyanan, people, they still obey him, or they still listen to him. Like Anwar al-Awlaqi, like the individual Anwar al-Awlaqi, how many people were affected by him from the youth? How many people used to listen to him? Because they said that, you know, he had tapes where he was talking about the hereafter, and he had tapes where he was talking about the Sahaba, and he had tapes when he was talking about the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How many people were listening to him? And they didn't even know who he was. They didn't know who he studied with. They didn't know where he came from. They didn't know who his shuyukh were. They didn't know anything about him. But they were impressed by his eloquence, so that people started to listen to him. Now look at the turmoil that he's created in various lands, in the Muslim lands and in the non-Muslim lands, due to his dalala. Na'am. No doubt. The brother, he said that he saw on a program that many of those who they caught from ISIS had not read the Quran and they knew nothing about Islam. No doubt. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he spoke about the Khawarij and he referred to them as being what? Foolish Sufal Ahlam. That they're foolish individuals. Many times you find, brothers and sisters, that they're foolish youth. And I'll give an example. There was one individual that he was in the UK, in my city, in Cardiff, absolutely jahil, ignoramus. ما عرف من الدين إلا قليلا. He knew very little about the religion. He used to attend some of the circles, the durus, the lessons that we used to have in the masajid, when we used to teach. Knew nearly nothing. I remember when he first started practicing, he didn't have a clue about anything about al-Islam. We see, mal asaf, we see that what Allah Azza wa Jalla has decreed, we see that what Allah Azza wa Jalla subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed, it will pass. And unfortunately, this individual, he joined the Khawarij, he joined this group, he ended up joining them. Why? Because he was mixing with the wrong people, he was associating with the wrong people, he was going to the wrong type of lessons, and he was in the wrong type of crowds. He ended up joining them, and there's a whole documentary about him, and they said, wallahu a'lam, that he was killed over there. But he was an ignoramus, jahil, murakkab. Didn't have a clue about anything. Totally green. Didn't study none of the books of Aqidah. Didn't study none of the books of Fiqh. Most probably couldn't even read the Quran. Totally green. But he ended up joining these people. Why? Because one, that's the type of people that they look for. People who are naive. People that don't have understanding. The young. And at the same time, people that can be overtaken by their emotions. Yani emotions. Al-Atifa. Somebody comes to you and they show you. In the 90s, when the Takfiris, when they were trying to send people to various countries, the Takfiris, like when they were in Bosnia and different countries, what they used to do, they used to go to the universities and they used to show videos. They used to show videos of people being killed in various lands. And they used to say, look, this is the Muslims, they're being killed. And now some of the scenes were graphic, wal-iyadu billah. Naam, and obviously if anyone was to see it, they would be upset by it. And they would say, look, this is your sister. And it might show you, know, a woman, her stomach's being cut open. And they say, look at your brothers, look at your sisters, look what's happening to them. So they come to you with atifa, with emotions. People crying there, all emotions. Now you're not judging based upon Quran and Sunnah. You're judging upon your emotions, what you see. And that's how they used to recruit. They used to go around, Baba Ahmed, that they locked up, and they extradited him to America. I think they released him now. And they had another, it was another tape they used to listen to. It's in the tape is called In the Heart of the Green Birds. It was a tape they used to tell you about stories that this individual, he went to Bosnia, he supposedly joined the Mujahideen. When he was killed, you know, they found him, he was smiling. You could smell fragrance from his body. The night before he had a dream that he was with the Hur al-Ain in Jannah. Now you have a 19-year-old who's totally ignorant. He's listening to these stories. Wow, Hur al-Ain in Jannah. SubhanAllah. When he died, he was smiling. There was musk coming from his body. So he's hearing all of this type of stuff and he ends up joining them. Why? Because his atif, emotions. But wallahi, if you look at those who, alhamdulillah, they were basing their mawaqif upon ilm, and they were returning to Ibn Baz, they were returning to Ibn Uthaymeen, they were returning to Al-Albani, they were returning to Muqbil ibn Hadi al-Wadi'i, alhamdulillah, many of them are around today, walillah alhamd wal minna, and they're still upon the same manhaj and the same aqidah. Many of those who are listening to Salman and Safar, either they're locked up, either they're dead, or today, they Allahu A'lam where they are. Why? Because they listen to ulama al-dalal. So that's the importance that we sit and we study these things. Person may think, why are we reading these things? Because these are things that people will be tried and tested as it pertains to them. Naam. So inshallah, we'll finish with this last point, ikhwan, briefly. Wal hajj al-barbahari, he said, wal hajj wal ghazwu ma'al imam ma'adin. Wa salat al-jum'ah khalfum ja'iza. Yusalli ba'daha sita raka'at. That hajj and jihad, afwan, are to be carried out under the leadership of the Muslim ruler. Jum'ah prayers behind them is allowed. And after Jum'ah, there are 6 raka'at which should be prayed, splitting it in to sets of 2 raka'ah. Splitting the 6 into sets of 2 raka'ah. This was stated by Imam Ahmad. Al-Sharh. Al-Hajju wal-Ghazwu ma'imam al-Muslimin ma'adin. Hajj and Jihad are carried out under the leadership of the Muslim leader. So again, and there's ijma' in this. There's no jihad offensive except with the Muslim ruler. Likewise, al-Hajj is under the leadership of the Muslim ruler. Sawa'un kana barran aw fajira. Whether he is righteous or wicked. Naam, somebody may say, ana bas ana uti' al-imam al-muti'. I only obey the imam who is obedient. As for the imam that is disobedient, the fajir, I don't obey him. Hadha khilaf sunnah Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa hadha khilaf ma najid fi kitabillahi azza wa jalla. That's in opposition to the Quran and the sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, there will be rulers, there will be leaders, qulubuhum qulub ash-shayatin fi juthmani ins. There will be leaders, their hearts will be the hearts of devils in the bodies of men. So, can you have a description more serious and graphic than that? Their hearts are the hearts of devils in the bodies of men. So they asked, what should we do if we meet them? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, isma' wa ati', listen and obey them, even if they were to take your wealth and they flog your backs. Hatta walau kanu dhalama. Wa kadha fa'al as-sahaba. This was the position of the companions. Ridwanullahi alayhim. Kanu yusallun wara'a umara'i su kal-hajjaj wa ghayrihi. The Sahaba, the companions, they would pray behind Hajjaj. They would pray behind evil rulers. They would pray behind evil rulers, the likes of Hajjaj and other than him. And from them who would pray behind Hajjaj and other than him was Abdullah ibn Umar, rawi had al hadith, the narrator of this hadith. And Hajjaj, he killed many of the noble people. He was known for his tyranny. However, the Sahaba, they would pray behind evil rulers, the likes of Hajjaj and other than him. وَلَمَّا عَزَمَ أَهْلُ الْمَدِينَةِ عَلَى خَلِعِ بَيْعَةِ يَزِيدِ بْنِ مُعَاوِيَةِ. And when the residents of Medina were determined to revoke the pledge of allegiance that was given to Yazid ibn Muawiyah, ذَهَبَ ibn Umar ila Abdullah ibn Muti'. فَلَمَّا وَصَلَ إِلَيْهِ قَالَ Abdullah ibn Muti'. اطرحوا لأبي عبد الرحمن وسادة. Look, Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما, the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab, he went to Abdullah ibn Muti' and when he came to him, Abdullah ibn Muti', he said, give Abu عبد الرحمن Ibn Umar, give him a cushion so that he could sit on. Umar, he said, قال إني لم آتيك لأجلس. He said, I never came to you to sit down. Look, subhanAllah, he's sarih. Look how straightforward he was. هكذا كان الصحابة. He was straightforward. He said, إني لم آتيك لأجلس. I never came to you to sit down. He said, أتيتك لأحدثك حديثا. He said, I came to you to tell you a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look, Ibn Umar, he said, I never came to sit down with you. He said, I came to tell you about the hadith that I heard from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, من خلع يدا من طاعة لقي الله يوم القيامة لا حجة له ومن مات وليس في عنقه بيعة مات ميتة جاهلية. Whoever removes his hand from obedience, he will meet Allah on the day of judgment, he will have no proof for it. And whoever dies and they do not have a pledge of allegiance around their neck, they will die a death of pre-Islamic ignorance, جاهلية. بلغوا الحديث ورجع. He mentioned the hadith and he returned. That's nasiha. That is advice, brothers and sisters. Look, sarih, that's manhood. Go to the person, nasiha, depart. Not a whole big argument back and forth, you know, where people get emotional, now they want to fight. Balig al-nasiha, give your advice, khalas, tarji. If he accepts, alhamdulillah, qabila mink, wallah alhamdul minna. If he doesn't accept, wama alayka illa al-balagh, all you can do is convey. Lasta alayhim bi musaytir. You don't have any control over them. He gave the advice, He conveyed the hadith and he left. وقال لأولادي, and he said to his children, والله من نكث هذه البيعة لن أكلمه. Look, so he gave the advice to those who he could give it to. However, with his children, he said to his children, by Allah, whoever breaks this covenant, the pledge of allegiance, he said, I'll never speak to him. He said, whoever breaks the pledge of allegiance that they have to the Muslim ruler, I'll never speak to him. Why? Because our love and our hate is for Allah Azza wa Jal, even as it pertains to our children, even as it pertains to our families or anyone else. That was the Sahaba. That was how the Sahaba dealt with people. How many people in our time deal with people like that? لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله. You will not find the people who believe in Allah on the last day loving those who oppose Allah and His Messenger. Even if it's their parents, their fathers, or their children. نعم. الشيخ ربي said كذا توعدهم وزجرهم عن هذا. Ibn Umar, he threatened them and he warned them from this type of behavior. فيطاعون في هذه الشاعر العظيمة التي يجتمع فيها المسلمون فإن المسلمين إذا لم تكن لهم كلمة لا يجتمعون لا على جهاد ولا على حج ولا غيره فيسلم على الإمام الفاجر ويتابعه في الصلاة ويحج معه إذا حج ويغزو معه إذا غزا وإذا دعا الخليفة الناس وحثهم على الجهاد للإسلام إلى آخر كلام الشيخ. I'll go to the point. والصلاة الجمعة خلفهم جائزة. نعم. We pray صلاة الجمعة behind the Muslim rulers. صلاة الجمعة خلفهم. Somebody's living in a Muslim land. نعم, you pray صلاة الجمعة behind the Muslim ruler. يقول أحمد, الإمام أحمد, he said جائزة. It's allowed. It's permissible. ومن أعادها فهو مبتدع. If somebody repeats the صلاة after praying behind the ruler, the Muslim ruler, even if he's sinful, they're an innovator. من أعاد صلاة الجمعة وراء الإمام الفاجر والمبتدع فإن إعادتها تعتبر بدعة إلا إذا كان كافرا ببدعته هذا شيء ثاني. نعم. So the Shaykh Rabbi said, whoever repeats the Jum'ah prayer, if after they prayed behind a sinful imam, the sinful leader, or a leader who is an innovator, then repeating the Jum'ah, repeating this prayer, is an innovation in itself. Unless the imam, the leader, is a kafir due to his bid'ah, and this is another matter. And we'll stop there inshallah. We'll continue next dars. We'll continue tomorrow with point number 33, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, and 34 and 35. So now we're going to talk, we're moving on to talk still about the Muslim ruler, but also a refutation upon the Khawarij and those who walk in their footsteps. Any questions about what was mentioned? We'll stop there inshallah. Jazakum Allah khair wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.